Without further ado, I want you to give a warm welcome to Pastor Rob as he comes to bring the word this morning.
Hey, good morning. God bless you. May you have a wonderful day today and through the coming week. And we will be certainly praying for you before the day is out for that to come to pass. A couple of things. You see behind me here the banners that are on the walls there. They are part of our school. This month is when we do our awards nights, our celebration nights, and so we put those up. What's immediately behind me is our values. They are clear, C-L-E-A-R, that are on the wall there. And then on the side walls are the names of the houses of our school. And each of those represents somebody who's done a mighty thing in God. They're all, of course, passed on to glory now, some many years ago, some not in the recent past, but that's what's happened. And we've named our houses after them, and we tell the children in the houses the story of that. And I might make mention of one or two as we go on. I certainly add my welcome to that of Pastor Ben and say to you, glad you're here this morning. You look wonderful. I hope you feel wonderful. If you're in the presence of God, there's every possibility you're going to feel great, isn't it? True. Next Sunday, we have our annual general meeting. We do it once a year, and that will be taking place after service. You do not have to be a member to come to the annual general meeting. You're welcome to be there. However, only members can vote. And I should add, if you want to see finances relating to the church, you can get in touch with Catherine in the office and she will get the information to you. We want to be a church of integrity. Our finances are not a hidden thing. And I also should add, we get them thoroughly audited by an external auditor. Costs us over $3,000 a year, so we are serious about doing the right thing in that regard. So you can have confidence that what you give to God that we handle on behalf of the Lord is handled in the right way. And then this morning I want to welcome Mr. and Mrs. Roger and Gail Dowdney, who was married 2 weeks ago. And we just pray your lives are going to be greatly blessed together. May you be a great illustration of how the goodness of God has brought you together. Amen. Well, it's wonderful to see you. We were away last weekend. We took a week off, and it's probably the first break we've had in years, but it was pleasant, and I wished I was here. It's always great to be here on Sunday, so it's good to be back this Sunday. I want to share a message this morning, and it's coming from my heart, and I want you to hear from my heart, because there may be a few challenges in this message that you'll feel a little bit stirred about, and I don't want you to be offended, but I do want to say this. I'm happy to offend you if it gets you closer to God. And that's not because I want to offend you, but because if I'm going to do the right thing as your pastor, I've got to speak truth to you. In love, I'm going to do it in love, but I'm going to speak truth. Can we walk along that line together? Okay. Well, thank you for those who said yes. Those who didn't say anything, put your seatbelts on because we're ready to go. I have shared with you what I believe about the rapture, that it is not a distant event. The rapture will be happening in a short period of time. Is it this year? Is it next year? Is it in 5 years? I don't know. That's in God's hands. But I do know that it's not a long time away. All of the evidence in our world and what's happening, Jesus spoke about in the book of Matthew. We see it in the book of Revelation. A lot of things that have been occurred, the book of Daniel, that have occurred there, are now being or have been fulfilled. And so it's very, very close. The rapture occurs 7 years later, the second coming, Jesus comes back to the earth. The rapture, he calls us up in the clouds. The second coming, his feet touch the earth. The mountains split, and that's the end of things as the world knows it at that time. But they have to go through 7 years of tribulation before he returns to the earth. And so with that in mind, my heart is to say, guys, you've got to live a Christian life. You've got to get your lives right. You don't want to get to heaven or you don't want to miss out on heaven, but you don't want to get to heaven and say, what could have been better. And that thought, I just want to say, consider this. In heaven, not only do we have a relationship with God, and it'll be wonderful to be in his presence and to see Jesus face to face. How exciting is that? But I want you to consider this. Roles, rewards, and regrets. You see, some people believe going to heaven, when we've arrived, it's just all blessing. We don't do anything. We sit around, we praise God, worship God, talk to Jesus, talk to people we know. It's just a fun time. I suggest that's not true. I see a God who is still creating. The universe is expanding. And the telescope they put up there and what they're discovering from that is amazing as well. But there are universes beyond that that we don't know about. They're just out there. They're probably amazing too. I'm sure they are if God created them. So we have a creative God. Why would he then shut everything down, take us to heaven and say, right, just sit around here? Like in a big church, all we'll do, God will preach 24/7. We'll just sit and listen. That's not going to happen. I believe that God has a purpose for each one of us. And how you develop here is the role that you fulfill there. God will use you in that place. It's not one size fits all when we get there. It's not the cookie cutter process that when we come through the pearly gates, Peter stamps us with the cookie cutter and we're all the same. No, we're going to be different. We're going to have functions in God. We're going to exercise faith. We're going to see amazing things because God is an amazing God. So that's in roles, and then there's rewards. God wants to reward you. The Bible talks about crowns that you wear for eternity. I'm thinking about the coronation of King Charles and the crown they'll put upon his head. That thing weighs a ton. He will have to practice and strengthen his neck muscles to get that on his head because it's heavy with jewels and gold. And that crown will rest upon him. But he doesn't wear it all the time. He wears it as his coronation. I don't know if he ever wears it again, but he wears it as his coronation. But we will wear the crowns throughout eternity. And that's God's purpose. He wants to reward you. It is God's pleasure to reward you for the life you live on this earth. But the last thing is regrets. When you face the Lord, you'll say, oh, Lord, if only. I could have done more. I could have influenced people more. I don't want you to have regrets. I want you to do your best in this life, that when you go to the next life, you won't have a regret, that you won't come and see me and say, oh, Pastor, I wish I'd listened to you. I missed it. I could have done better. God had these rewards, and he showed me the rewards he had lined up for me, but he couldn't give them to me because I didn't fulfill what he was looking for. So we have relationship. We have roles, we have rewards, we have regrets. And so I just want to share some simple things with you this morning to help you build on your Christian life. I'm not saying that these are new. I think you'll find that they've been said before, either by me or by others, but we want to reconsider. And so I'm going to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 to start with this morning. The scripture says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Notice the key words that are spoken there, the word narrow, confining. The word difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. I pray the fact that you're sitting in this building this morning is you've experienced Jesus Christ in your life, and so you found the narrow way and you've stepped onto the narrow way. And I want to keep you on the narrow way because the Bible says difficult is the way to lead in Christian life and the way we need to go. And so the title of my sermon this morning is you have to pay the price. Let's talk about paying the price. If you don't pay the price, you suffer the consequence. There's an axiom that farmers use, that you reap what you sow. And so if you don't plant seed, you don't get a crop. It's an expression that we need to understand. If we don't pay the price, we don't enjoy the reward of the price. You may be faced with a consequence when you don't pay the price. Let me give you examples. Health. I know some people are born with such outstanding DNA. It always disturbs me to read when they're talking to somebody who's now 120 years old. What's the secret of your longevity? Well, I smoke 3 cigars a day. I drink a bottle of brandy, followed by a couple of Cokes and a bucket of ice cream. And I think, shut up. We don't need your advice. You just were blessed with great DNA. That's how you survive so long. It's nothing to do with what you eat or drink or smoke. The fact of life is, for the average person, which I include myself in, I got to take care of what I got. So I pay the price. I pay the price of health. I try to look after my health. I try to watch what I eat. I try to exercise. I try to keep fit. I try to sleep appropriately so that I can, you know, my well-being will be there. Good health costs. It doesn't fall into your lap. Some people I know it does. They seem to do anything and get away with it. Pato drinks Coke like a fish and doesn't put on 1 ounce of weight. Lucky guy. Spends his time at McDonald's. He's got a standing reservation there. His table's reserved and they welcome him when he... No. He's a good man. Eats the right food, I'm sure. You know the saying, a stitch in time saves nine? Well, that's the thought that if you do something by way of maintenance, then it provides that the thing that, like in the industries we have, the coal industries, they used to do shutdown every year. I don't know that that's still done the same way now, but it used to be around the end of the year, they'd shut down, everybody'd move in to maintain all the machinery, then it'd go for the next 12 months. Because if you don't maintain it, it breaks down and you lose more by the breakdown than you did by stopping it for maintenance. The same with the woodman's axe. He's trying to cut down the tree, and you can say to him, hey, you need to sharpen that axe because you're not getting through the trees like you used to. And he might say, I haven't got time to sharpen the axe. I'm too busy cutting down trees. I know with my, I got a little chainsaw. I know when it gets blunt because I can just stand there and nothing happens. It just whizzes around on the bough and doesn't cut through. So I got to stop it and sharpen it. And then pay the price of education. Study, personal improvement are good things. Because it means if you qualify, whatever it be, from university or in your apprenticeship, you'll probably get a job which will be satisfying and well paid. But if you don't study and just say, well, I'm not going to study, I'll just take whatever's out there, well, you'll be washing the dishes down at McDonald's when Ben comes in. And you don't want to do that. You want to get a good job and you want to have a satisfaction in your job. I'm not saying working at McDonald's is not right, but I'm just saying that's not going to pay the bills ultimately. You won't be paying mortgages off and doing a lot of stuff like that if you're just sort of occupying the desk at McDonald's. So I'm encouraging you. Education's a good thing. Then relationships. You pay the price of relationships. If you've been married more than 12 months, let's say the first 12 months is just the honeymoon period, isn't it? No? Well, I think it was. But I'll tell you, all the years after that, you pay the price. What do I mean? You make the effort. You love your spouse. You care for them. You do kind things. You speak words of kindness. You lift them up. You encourage them. You do everything you can. That builds a marriage. You walk through difficulties in marriage. There's financial difficulties. Raising kids is always a challenge. Working through mortgage and just the processes of life. But you pay the price. If you pay the price, you have a great marriage. If you won't pay the price, you'll bear the consequence of a marriage that's going to struggle or maybe fail. And so I encourage you, do it in your relationship. So these are all part of the natural realm, and there's others. Well, let's talk about the spiritual realm for a moment. When we consider heaven and eternity, see, eternity is when we leave this time and enter a dimension where there is no time. Time is not measured in heaven. I heard a guy who was taken to heaven. He died, but came back, he was revived. And he said, you know, the amazing thing, because he was a musician, the amazing thing, he says there's no beat in the music in heaven. Why? Because there's no time. See, we beat at a certain time, don't we? You talk about the timing in music. So there's no time in heaven. It goes on for eternity. This life is a little life. A baby in the womb, if babies could think, would say, hey, this is a great deal, isn't it? I'm comfortable. I'm floating around in this fluid. I'm fed. I have no needs. I feel warm. I feel secure. But you know, that's not the purpose of a baby to say the whole life in the womb. It's going to come forth one day into this cold, hard, cruel world, which will be a challenge for that baby to live in. Thus it is for us, in this world, we will go from here, what's hard, into something that's beautiful. But in the preparation time in this world is when we grow. So what about paying the price of salvation? It's more than a prayer. Pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. I believe in the prayer. I believe in the salvation. But you know, there's more than just that. That's merely the starting point. It's like when a baby's born, it's a starting point. That baby needs care, it needs feeding, it needs training, it needs loving, it needs all the things that will help that baby grow into an adult that can, you know, reproduce itself and do what needs to be done. So it's more than a prayer. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to work the change in us, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Sad to say, there are people who prayed the prayer for salvation, but they won't make it to heaven, even though they were sincere when they prayed it. I need to be very upfront with you. I do not believe in once saved, always saved. I don't believe in legalism either. I don't believe we earn our way to heaven, but we need to keep close to the Lord, because when we start drifting away from the things of God, we can fall away, and we don't realize it, but we lose our salvation. How hard is that? I don't know. I don't want you to fall away. I want you to hold fast to God and live a great life for Him. So what's the cost to pay the price for our Christian life in order to please God and to assure our future and blessing to others? What's that noise? Is the click track on? What is it? Is it? Turn it off. Thanks, guys. No. Maybe it's an angel playing the amp this morning. Maybe we shouldn't turn it off. I'd rather hear an angel speaking anyway than me. What about paying the price of knowing God? This comes by revelation. You've got to, and that's why we are such a worshiping church, because we want to bring revelation of God to you, that you can come into that relationship with Him, you can know Him. It involves time, it involves intention, and you've got to be careful you don't drift away. One thing I've learned about Christianity, the tide always goes out. And by that I mean, if I'm not pressing forward and I'm not swimming against the tide of this world and the influence of the enemy, then I'm drifting backwards. The tide's taking me away. You've got to keep pressing forward. And that means spending the time to get to know God. We as a church stand for loving God, loving people, doing what we can to serve God, to reach out to people, to tell them the truth about the kingdom of God so they might know Him. So we've got to spend time in prayer. We've got to spend time building our connection with God, listening to His voice. You've got to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. Then paying the price of freedom. In John chapter 8, 31 and 32, Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, now these were people who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's a matter of hearing and doing. We need the word of God. We need to walk in that. I want to say this morning, if you're not reading the Bible, if the Word of God is not important to you, if you're not, and I'm encouraging you, read it and read it and keep reading it and reading it. I do that, and I'm trying as hard as I can to get as much of the Word in me. I tell you, if you don't know the Word of God, you become devil fodder. Why? Because he can persuade you about an untruth and you won't know what's lie and what's truth. Adam and Eve were told by God, you know, or Adam was told, don't touch the tree, don't eat of it, or don't eat of the tree. And so what do they do? The devil comes along and says, oh no, God didn't mean that. They should have refuted him with the word and said, but God said. Jesus, when he was tempted, you can read the three temptations, answered, this is the word of the Lord. He said, it is written and it is said. And he declared it, and he overcame the devil, not by saying, devil, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to hear what you have to say. No, he used the word of God. And we have to do the same. That's my encouragement to you. Read the word of God. Know the word of God. I've had a number of operations in my life. Perhaps some of you had too. But I wouldn't like to to get to the operating theatre, and the doctor brings in his iPad, or he brings in his notebook computer, and he's just sort of Googling, how do you do this operation? I think about that point in time, I'd say, listen, let's you go off to medical school for a few years and we'll catch up on this. I don't want you to do it. I want people who know what they're doing, who've done the study, who've done the research, also have done the operations before so that they have some experience. Then you pay the price of obedience. Holy Spirit leads us. We need to be obedient to that. He changes. We need to be obedient to that. To Jesus' words, we need to be obedient because it brings freedom and blessing. Last century, back in the 80s, I came to this church, and unfortunately, we didn't have a strong basis of leadership in the church, not like I expected or understood the church should have. But there was a man in the church named Ross Taylor, and I was very thankful he was in the church. He was a good man, great integrity. He worked for Telecom, which is now Telstra. And along the line, I said to Ross, I want you to come and join the team. I want you to be on the staff. I want you to be a pastor in the church. And he resisted and resisted and resisted. And I nagged and nagged and nagged. And one Sunday night, we'd finished our service, and I said, Ross, I'm sure God wants you to be involved. And he went home and he said to his wife, oh, I'm going to sort this out forever now. And he said, I'm going down to my studio and I'm going to pray and really just know. He hadn't been down there long when God said to him, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go and become, you know, join the staff, become a pastor in that church. What I didn't know was that the way that Telecom was run then, they put very generous portions into superannuation. This was before the government started in around 1990 to require employers to put money aside for superannuation. So Telecom had been putting all this money aside for, he'd probably been working there 25, 30 years at the time. I mean, he had hundreds of thousands of dollars in superannuation. And if he left, he didn't get a cent because he didn't put any money in, Telecom did. And so for him to make that decision means he was foregoing these hundreds of thousands of dollars of superannuation. I didn't know that at the time. So he made the decision. He went down there. He felt it was right in God. He rang me up and he said, no, it's right. Monday, he rang me and said, look, no, it's right in God. I'm going to do it. On the Wednesday, Telecom made the decision that anybody who left could take their superannuation with them. You see, Ross was obedient, and God brought the blessing. He could have foregone hundreds of thousands of dollars and stepped out and been obedient to God, and he did. He was obedient to God, knowing at that time he would lose that money. But God blessed him, put the money in there. So I'm saying to you this morning, guys, be obedient. It might seem to cost you something, but you'll gain in the long run. Then pay the price of faith. God puts us in situations to build our faith. Don't lament when things seem to go wrong, when you struggle with stuff. Don't say, God, how could this be? Don't you love me? Did you let me go through this? That's the reason God lets you go through it. Why? Because he's building your faith. And whenever I strike situations which seem to want to cripple me and pull me down, sometimes all I can say is, Lord, I trust you. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know what the end is going to be looking like, but I trust you. I put my trust in you. I declare that you're going to take me through to what you want me to be and how you want me to be. See, love is the essence of the kingdom, but faith is the expression of the kingdom. And we are kingdom people. And I believe that the faith we develop here on this earth, we take with us to heaven. Why would God build us in the realm of faith on this earth and then say, right, when it's all over, you don't need any more faith, it's all over? I think God has purposes for us. When I talk about roles in heaven, I think God has a purpose for us, that our faith will continue to operate there, and the faith we develop here is the faith we take with us to heaven. Now, I can't prove that. I haven't been to heaven. I don't have a manual from heaven that describes all of these things, but it's in my heart. I think it's from the Holy Spirit. So let God build your faith. Next time you find yourself in difficult circumstances, something breaks down, you have a relationship issue, things like that all begin to happen. It just seems to overwhelm you. Say, God, I trust you. You're going to carry me through this. Because the Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. And some people say, oh, the Lord takes them out of it. No, he doesn't take them out of it, he takes it through. It's like being in the tunnel. When you're in the tunnel, stay on the train. You'll get to the other side. And so by faith, I come through those things and I stand in the name of the Lord. Hey, I've been through difficult things in life. Health challenges, relationship challenges, issues relating. This side here is an act of faith. I had to hang on to God. It took me years. I felt it was tearing me apart. But at the end, God brought us through. We had to hang on in faith, in prayer, in belief, in confession. We'd come over here, I'd pour, you know, anointing oil on the ground and say, this is your land, Lord. I'm believing for the things to happen, for the buildings to rise up, for children to come here and really hear the word of the Lord. We hadn't at that time planned to build this building and put our church in it, but we trusted God and he brought us through. He gave us blessing after blessing. This building was a blessing. While the church has put money into this building to help equip it, the basic building was provided by the government under the things that they were doing back during the financial crisis of 2007, and we were able to build this building. So that was God's goodness to us because we hung on in faith. We trusted God, and he brought this about. What about paying the price of faithfulness? This is a biggie, and I'm going to explain why. We're all called to serve God. Every one of us. If you name the name of Christ, there's a calling on your life to serve God. He's got something for you to do. Don't just say, oh, we let the pastor do all those things. He has to, dedicate the newbies. He has to welcome everybody into the church. He has to clean the church. He has to paint the church. Has to raise the dead. Has to marry. Everybody wants to get married. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, of course, the pastor died at 35 from being overworked. That's not how it works. We're all involved, guys. We're all a part of what God's called us to. The Bible says we are all ministers. Now, I may be called pastor, but you and I are both ministers. We may have a different expression of that ministry. I have my role, you have your role. Look, you may be, an engineer, a doctor. You may be in the financial field, the legal field. Even if you're picking up garbage or sweeping or whatever, you are ministering for the Lord. So do it as unto the Lord. And so in that role, guys, we fulfill what God has called us to. But there's a calling on our life that we need to hear God speaking to us so that we know how to move in that calling. Let me show you some scriptures in Matthew 20:16. Scripture says, just the last part of the scripture, for many are called, but few are chosen. So I believe every Christian is called. Perhaps every person born is called. When God sends at conception, when he sends a spirit into that conception, perhaps the calling comes in. I don't know. We'll find out from the Lord one day, but I do believe Christians, that once you're born again, you're called. And you need to respond to the calling. And how do you fulfill? Why are many called and few chosen? I'm going to show you a scripture in Revelation 17:14. It says, these will make war with the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome them, for he's Lord of lords, King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. What makes the difference between calling and being chosen is faithfulness. If we will be faithful, if we'll pay the price of faithfulness, we will fulfill what God has called us to do, and the calling will be released in our lives. That's what God is seeking from us. So be faithful. And really, the last thing I want to say on this, pay the price of coming to church. You, if you've come to this church for any length of time, I guess you realize that there's no perfect people here. That the pastor isn't perfect. Now, I won't admit that, but that's how it is. We are imperfect. This is an imperfect church, but we have a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Lord, and we're growing together. The purpose of church is not about just filling seats, singing together. That is part of it, worshiping, part of it. It's what God's called us to do. But there's more. We grow together. We build relationship together. We hear the word that helps us to grow in the things of God. That's what God wants for us. And can I say, by coming to church, you're building your life. You're increasing your faithfulness. And let me just, this might be offensive. Parents, you need to bring your children to church. Why? Because if you treat church as take it or leave it, what will happen is that kids will grow up and think, well, church is not that important. But can you see the next step? God is not that important. See, I know by coming to church, say, well, that's, I can see God is important. I don't need to come to church for that. Yes, but it's like in a marriage relationship. If my wife's important to me, then I'm going to relate to her. I'm going to do things for her. I'm going to help her. I'm going to love her. That's all part of it. I can say, but I've got a wife. I don't need to do those things. I don't need to go home. I can live anywhere I choose. No, that's not how it works. Come to church. Bring your kids to church. Because I don't want to speak to you either later in life or in heaven and have you say, my kids are away from God. And I've said, it's not once saved, always saved. Just because your kids prayed a prayer once doesn't mean that they will get to heaven. Because if they drift away, other things will draw on their life. I use the term devil fodder. That's what happens. It comes to influence them and breaks them down. So it's sad for pastors to see that. People who gradually drift away from church, they begin to, they miss a Sunday, then they miss another Sunday, then it becomes a habit. They say, well, I'm still a Christian. I'm just, you know, I just can't get to church. I've got other things to do, family, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I say this, you risk losing salvation. Christianity is holistic. By that I mean there's every part to it. Relationship with God, relationship with people, integrity of heart, prayer, all of those things help us to grow and help us to come into what God has called us to. So I want you to make it. This is a good church made up of imperfect people. But we seek to grow in God, and here you can be loved, be involved, be safe. You can worship God and you can experience life as God intends. But let's consider the greatest price, because in this we can see how we can pay the price. It was God, our Creator, of course, who sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer an ignominious. Isn't that a great word? Ignominious. I heard Paddo using it the other day and I thought, I've got to look that up and see what it means. What it means, of course, is the ignominious death that Jesus suffered was one of shame and humility. And He did that on our behalf. He hung naked on a cross. That's a pretty awful thing, isn't it? Hanging naked on a cross. He'd been terribly afflicted. There was blood flowing down His body. He looked an absolute mess. But how wonderful He did that. And it shows how we can apply ourselves if we're prepared to pay the price. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before Him. See, the reason Christians aren't prepared the price is because they don't see the joy. And I've tried to say to you, there's rewards in heaven. There's roles in heaven. There's special things that we are going to move into. Get the joy. Look unto that and say, it's worth it. When people study, going to university, sometimes it's a great struggle to do that. They don't have the finance. It's hard. It's a lot of that. They pay the price, but they're looking beyond that. And I'm saying to you, look beyond the price that you're paying into what God has for you in heaven in rewards and roles and no regrets. So, folks, consider it. What Jesus did, He did for joy. We can do the same. It's worth it. We evaluate the cost. We consider the different options and we determine. That's what we're going to do. Jesus knew what He came to do. He knew the cost, but He saw by faith the outcome for humanity. The joy that was set before Him has powered Him to endure the cross and pay the price. I've got to ask you, are you prepared to pay the price for Christianity that God has set before you? Because it's going to be different for each one. God tailors it according to us. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, it says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance. Let us pay the price. It requires a decision, and we are here to help. You've got to know the why of what you're doing. The why creates the motivation. I'm motivated to know God. I'm motivated to please God. I'm motivated to reach out to other people in love. And I'm motivated by the roles and rewards of heaven. Amen. Why don't we pray together? I'm going to ask you to stand. I said it involves a decision. And it's your decision. I can't make it for you. I can encourage you. I can pray God work in the hearts of people. But unless you make the decision, you won't move forward. Do you know, we buy things in life, don't we? And particularly if we're buying a car, because they are very expensive items. We decide we want to pay the price. And then, of course, salesmen being salesmen come along and say, but would you like to have mats in it? Do you want tint in it? You know, we can add this. We can add tow bar. We can add driving lights. And you see, the thing about cars is the money is really made in the extras. That's what a guy who was in our church who owned car sales operations, he said, we don't make much out of the sale of a car, but out of the extras, he said, that's where we really make money. But you decide, yeah, I would like the extras, and you pay the price. You decide. The same thing in Christianity. You decide if you're going to pay the price. So I put that before you this morning. God is good. Got a great plan for your life if you walk with it. Okay? Oh, thank you for that thunderous reception. I really am impressed. Excuse my sarcasm. Have I stunned you all into silence? I hope not. Why don't we pray together this morning? Let's let God loose. That's what I want to see. Father, I just thank you that Jesus paid the price. That awesome price, that huge price, that God would die for man is something beyond really our comprehension. We try to understand it. I'm sure one day in heaven we will get a grip on it and say, we really do see what that involved. But Lord, as we walk this earth and while we have breath in our bodies, may we respond to the calling that you placed within us. May our hearts be so in tune with you that we, as your sons, will have a heart of service unto our Father. The kingdom will be so vital to us that, Lord, our futures are secure in you, that we will grow in our relationship with you, our intimacy with you, we'll grow in our faith, we'll grow in our faithfulness, we'll grow in the fulfillment of our calling. I'm praying, God, you put your hand upon us. Bless each person here this morning. Touch their lives with hope. It's my intentional prayer, really urgency of prayer, Lord, that people will respond because the day is late. We know, Jesus, you're coming back in the rapture in the very near future. And may we be ready. And may we have done everything with our lives that we can possibly do that brings you pleasure and says that we are good stewards of a gift of life that you've given us. Your hand be upon us, Lord. May we be a church that loves God with all our heart, loves people, Lord, that has a heart to go and reach out with love. Let that be upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to worship for a few minutes before we conclude because we believe worship is so important. So stick with us. God hasn't finished what he wants to do yet. Thanks, worship team. You just lift it before the Lord as I pray, because I'm going to pray God will minister. But sometimes our prayer needs are almost an escape when God wants us to operate in faith to step into something. Sometimes we pray for people to be healed, but it's God's intent for that person to learn how to pull the healing themselves, to call the fire of God over themselves and declare health in Jesus' name. See, we believe in prayer, we believe in the laying on of hands, but we also believe We want to raise up Christians who are strong in God, who know how to hear God, walk with God, and to tackle the stuff that comes against them because faith arises. But I'm going to pray for you this morning. So, Father, let the name of Jesus be named. I speak Jesus into this place. I speak Jesus over every situation. I speak the great work of the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ that delivered us from sin, sickness, and the curse. I thank you, Lord, this morning. I pray your blessing upon each person. I pray that they go forth with a great sense of you, your life and love flowing in them. Jesus, in your precious name, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. As we go this morning, can you do I Speak Jesus? We'll conclude the meeting, but you sing that. And it may be you want to take a minute and come down. We call this the altar. It's no more holy than any other place, but people just want to kneel or want to just come and wait in the presence. You're welcome to come and do that. Just going to sing this song, I Speak Jesus, over every person. In 10 minutes' time, in the guest lounge at the back there, we invite you to come, our new friends, and join us and meet our team. If you're here for the first time, you're welcome to come as well. May God bless you. Have an awesome week. God's going to lead you on the path of somebody this week you need to speak Jesus to. Okay? Bless you. Bye now.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is